Hello, everyone. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. This is George Watkins, and welcome to our Wednesday time together. We are wonderfully excited about Jesus today, and we want to pass that on to you. If you're tuning in for the first time, stay around for a while and check us out. I know our face is not well-known, and our name is not well-known, but we know a God who has some good words and some good encouragement for you today. So thank you for coming by. If you're one of our troop, our posse that meets most every morning, good to see you again. God bless you. My thoughts are on the nation. My thoughts are on our local communities, our schools. Our thoughts are on our children, our grandchildren. What is the effect that's going on in all the storm that's blowing? We have been invaded more than we've ever recognized before, almost physical invasion with the virus. And now the social programs, socialist programs, school teachings that want to pervert our young people, in some cases, bedrock communist propaganda. And that's all coming against the foundation of our nation that is really founded on God's principles, biblical principles, godly, righteous principles. Now, was everyone in the founders, all the founders, were they all saints and holy men and women of God? Well, let God be the judge of that. Fact is, this nation was birthed, and in the 230 years or 30-some years that we've been in existence, we have blessed the world, changed the world, and protected the world. We have been the ones that jump in and rescue nations until this last few, this last go around. I have never seen our nation retreat like it did in Afghanistan and some other fronts of the world. So what do? Do we panic? Do we run? Do we give up? Do we, you know, wish for the rapture, the escape button? Let's all get out of here and let the world go to hell? Or do we press forward, win the battle by faith, prayer, and get involved in the life of our communities, our school boards, our local politicians, state and national, whatever it takes? Pray for our leaders that they'll lead us into Paul said that we may have a peaceful life so we can spread the gospel and continue to preach the gospel. So we're in the middle of it, and we're going to look back. We're going to look back and see this as a narrowing point, where it was narrowed down to where it could have gone one way or the other, but God will rescue us and bring us through triumphantly. I'm listening to the prophets, but I also know that God has a future for us. Sometimes there's a good slice of the church that gets caught up in escape mentality and the heavy dose of rapture teaching that instant, sudden, secret, all those types of teachings. That there's been an escape. Let's get out of here. We'll never change. It's getting worse and worse. And a lot of Christians buy into the Hollywood end of the world scenario, dark and dirty and, you know, either frozen or burned up, one of the two. That's why this whole climate change, it used to be 30, 40 years ago, we were all going to freeze, and then they turned it into we're all going to burn, and now it's we're all going to change. You know, it's changing. Well, If you've lived in the Northwest, you can say amen to that. And they tell us in the Northwest, if you don't like the weather, wait a minute, it'll change. But God never does, and his word never changes. And the things that we know to be true from the time that he established his first breath into Adam, the first promise, the first transmission of God's DNA into mankind, from that moment on, all through the historical interactions that God gave and had with men of old, men and women of old, all through that time, we see the same pattern of God's purpose and faithfulness, and he has a plan. Now, that plan's not going to be changed, nor is God surprised, nor is God has never said, whoops, I didn't see that one coming. No, man is not going to conquer. Man is, you know, man's plans are never going to succeed. They're always going to fade and fade away. Sometimes it seems like God's plans are postponed or put off or even ruined in some cases. Well, he grinds on, plots on, marches on. We will see the glory of God on this earth, and we will see the glory of God cover the word of God and the waters cover the sea. He told us to make disciples out of nations. Now, why would he say that unless it was possible, unless he expected to help us, intended to be our partner in doing that? Well, looking back from that declaration that he told us to do to this time now, 2,000 years later or so, we have seen the Christian message be injected as a you know, as a shot in the arm. I don't want to bring up that sad argument right now, but as a spiritual vaccination against sin and brokenness. And the nations that have embraced that introduction to Jesus Christ have been raised up out of death and poverty and brokenness and loss, and begin to have the light and the prosperity of God's grace upon them. We've seen it in history, and we'll continue to see it. God's not through with us. When he says he's coming back for a glorious church without a spot and wrinkle, well, that may be your church, you and your 14 people that are hiding somewhere, I don't know. But the church across the board needs some more growth, some more maturity. And there's revelation and insight and spiritual maturity and perfection. So those are some of the things that are on my mind today and on my spirit. When I'm in Matthew 16:24, talking about the, unless the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it remaineth alone. There's some dying going on in this last couple of years. Churches have closed or died. Businesses have died. In our little town, I live in a small town, 40,000 or so, and we've lost our major stores. We've lost dozens and dozens of small businesses. They've died. So there's a death going on, and not to discount the death of people. My goodness, how sad. And everyone is a human being. Everyone has a family that are grieving. I don't discount a bit when I'm trying to catch the big picture when we're talking about overcoming these things. So in the spiritual journey we're on, and in our national journey, there's some things that have to die if we're going to come forth victorious. There's some systems that have to die. One of the things that they did a few years ago that was totally wrong, they should have let some of those companies die instead of rescuing them again. Now, if you're going to do something financially, if you're going to do something that causes you to die, there needs to be some change on the inner working of that company or business. And if they just rescue you and bail you out, then it just accentuates the problem and you'll die again financially. Some of our children, we keep supporting their bad lifestyles and keep paying their debts and bailing them out of jail and whatever else they get in trouble with, instead of letting the law or the weight of their penalty bring a death to their actions so that they come to repentance and change their way of life. So what has died in your life? What's been the thing in your life that you think you've, how can I live without it? It's gone. It's dead. A ministry, a gift, a job, even a marriage that has died. Well, I look at the principle in the scriptures that unless a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it is in the ground and you leave it there, harvest will come, and it will come forth multiplied. Now, look at Jesus. Jesus had to die so that he could be buried and then raise again into newness of life. And of course, you and I died with him in the spirit. And because of that, we have no history. We have no stinking past. It's gone. It's buried. Go try to collect money from a dead man. Go try to sue a dead man. Go try to inflict pain on a dead man. You can't do it because that life is gone. Look at tithing, giving offerings to God. That money in your hand is like they say, burning a hole in your pocket, but you don't want to get rid of it. But giving it away is somewhat like a death. And when you give that, it's like burying that seed in the ground and it's gone. You have no more rule over that. When you give your tithe to the house of God, place that you receive your strength and your word back, and your health, the teachings and whatever. When you give that, you can't go into the office and say, well, I gave my $100 on Sunday and I want to tell you what to do with it. You don't do that. It's not yours anymore. It belongs to the house of God that you gave it to, the ministry or wherever you're tithing to. Now it's gone. But what happens then? The Bible says that if you give, it shall be given back to you. Pressed down, running over, shaken together, running over, shall men give back to your bosom. And now he says that when you give, it shall be given. So the giving is a death. Now, what do you do when you get up in the morning and you go to work? You are giving yourself away. And once that day is gone, it's gone and buried. You're not going to retrieve it. But what do you get back? You get back a reward of that paycheck and promotion and whatever else goes along with the job you're doing. So all these principles of loss, we lose some dear friend that's step through the veil. So what do we get from that? Well, I know when my dad and mom passed away, mom's been gone 25 years, dad's been gone about 12. What it did for me, it gave me a sense of my immortality, my mortality on one side and my immortality on the other side. But I had a sense of the eternities differently because of some personal experience like that. I had two friends when I was a teenager die. Two close friends die. Mid-teenager, 15 to 16. It did something for my spiritual connection to God. Made it it made it real that there was life and death, and I needed to give myself to God and serve the Lord with all my heart and be diligent in following him. So when something is taken away, God gives back something greater and better. So when I came to you today and prepared myself like I do, prayer and meditation, this was the word that I had. Someone listening to me today has had a loss. Give it to God and believe that he's going to return it back. It could be something on the lighter side. It seems pretty serious, but a job loss is nothing compared to losing a loved one in death. Or, you know, the loss of a relationship is very painful, but it will pass if you give it to God. Could be that person or that situation or that job you lost, you needed to lose it so you could get your head out of the sand and see that you're worth more than that guy was paying you. I don't know if that was prophecy, but it's probably real life in most cases. Now, we've all gone through our losses. I am right in there with you. And some of the losses seem like they're just more than you can bear. But if you'll give it to God and let it die, God will bring it forth. And you'll see the reward of it. You'll see that God will bring something out of the death or out of the loss that will amaze you and surprise you. Amen. What do you say about he'll bring it back sevenfold, has to return it sevenfold? Well, God's much better than that, isn't he? Well, this is a good day to be alive. And I love you guys. I will see you in the morning. Don't forget, subscribe, like me. I'm in need of you liking me on Facebook. And subscribe on YouTube and share this with someone. Tell them we're on the air, and we really appreciate that. Several of you have given. And thank you for that. If God's nudging you to give, it's show notes right down there you can find, and they will provide you a way to do that. Until tomorrow, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his countenance always shine from your face. See you in the morning.